Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Has it been good to you? Something you can stop and think for. If you're alive, let's just stop there. Just thank you, Jesus, for my life. Thank you, Jesus, for another day. Somebody didn't think they would make it through today because yesterday was so hard. Yesterday was so challenging. Yesterday came to us with it up and it's down. Yesterday had yesterday wrote all around your life. It was turmoil in your life. You had trials. You didn't see how you got through your tribulations, and you laid your head down. And God woke you up this morning. New mercy. If you repented of those sins from yesterday, you don't have to wear that stuff around with you today. You don't have to drag it around, carry it around. I don't care who tries to throw it in your face. It is yesterday's case. That sin has been forgiven. You have repented from your heart, and God has received it. So start a new day. So let's start it again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, somebody. Praise the Lord, somebody. God is good all the time. We want to know about glorifying him, and sometimes we know that we need to glorify him. We want to glorify him, but we get so caught up in the traditional way of glorifying him. We just don't know what we're saying or doing, but we want to give him all. We want to give him our best, because remember that same trial, that same tribulation that we just got through speaking about? Yeah, that thing that had you all bottled down, had you all depressed, no one could talk to you out of it, all of that stuff, he gave his all to get you here today. He gave his all, brand new mercy. It was none of your sins that you repented from your heart that he did not forgive you for. As long as you're trying, you repent sincerely, God will forgive you. He will wash your sins away. Throw your sins in the sand. The seat of forgetfulness, and he won't remember them no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You got those that look in your face every day, they smile and say they love you, but they still remind you of all the things that you've done. Hallelujah. But God. But God. But our living God. Our awesome God. You want to say what it is to you? Your comforting God. Your healer God. Your lawyer, God, the one who will never leave you, the one who will never forsake you. I know you went to the altar and they sat there and told you, your spouse looked you in the eyes and made vows before the Lord, before witnesses. But he stopped loving you, didn't he? She turned her back on you, didn't she? But our God, our God, our God, praise his holy name. Praise his name. He's so worthy to be praised. So worthy to be praised. I am your host tonight, Minister Vaughn. I am coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, and I just am honored to be a part of your few minutes here as we just praise the Lord together, as we just allow the God to come and just speak into our situations, into our life. I pray that you've had a blessed day. I pray that whatever you went through today, that you kept your eyes on God and not on that situation. I pray that whatever is stirring up in your spirit right now, you're going to turn it around and you're going to take the authority that is given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to squash, you're going to cancel out any of the schemes that the devil has against you, set up against you. Don't you just lie down or let him just roll over you. Don't you just bow down to all of his schemes, his tactics, and ideas and thoughts that he's trying to plant inside of your mind. Stand up with the authority of God. You serve a big God, and he's giving you authority to stand up, watch those things up, call things that you know, see, you see not as you see them to be according to the will of God. Where is your faith? Hallelujah. Stand up. Psalms 92 is our scripture for tonight. It said, it is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, oh my God, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night to the music of the 10-string lyre and the melody of the harp. Praise the Lord. Praise be the name of the Lord. It is good to praise the Lord. The spirit to praise the Lord. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hand. How great are your works, O Lord. How profound your thoughts. Whose thoughts? Your thoughts. I don't want to be said to be with my own understanding, but your thoughts. How profound your thoughts. The senseless man does not know. Fools do not understand. And though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be forever destroyed. Somebody needs to hear that word tonight. They will be forever destroyed. You know, somebody has said that a lie, wickedness, can travel all around the world before truth, righteousness, can even put his shoes on in the morning, before it can even lace up the shoes. Wickedness, plenty of wickedness. Lies, deceit, there's plenty of that, but there's plenty of love. There is plenty of love. God has love. He's loving you right now, right in the midst of all the stuff that you're talking about. He's still loving you. Don't you let somebody stand up against you and tell you that it's all over just because your situation doesn't look favorable at this time. Look them in the eye. Stand up and say, God hasn't given up on me, and I'm not giving up on my situation. As long as he abides in me and I abide in him, it's going to be all right. Amen? It's good to praise the Lord. Make music in your name, O Most High. Proclaim your love in the morning, your faithfulness at night. We'll continue to love you. We're not giving up on anything, Father. Hallelujah. It says, for you make me glad by your deeds. So I sing joy at the works of your hand. The senseless man does not know. Fools do not understand. So don't be worried about it because somebody don't understand all the trust that you have. Don't you worry about it because people don't understand the love that you have. Don't you worry about it because people don't understand that you have faith. And you're standing on faith and not on the worries that's going around. Don't you worry about it. Don't you worry about it. You know what God has put in your heart. You know what God is telling you. You stand strong. Fools will not understand that. And though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, and it looks like that they're going and doing things outside of the things that a normal person would do. Seems like they're getting favor from here, favor from there. Don't you worry about that, because it says they will be forever destroyed. Their reward is here, but your reward is stored up in heaven. God is not about to let you just go by and let anything just happen to you. He's got your back. Amen? He's got your back. So just believe and receive that God has your back. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What does it mean to glorify God? What does it mean to glorify God? What does it mean to glorify God? Hallelujah. Have you ever caught yourself just doing your Sunday morning service just mindlessly singing along with the hymns or the praise songs? It takes no effort. You don't have to look at the big screens. You know the words. You just mindlessly start to sing along with the choir. You know every pause and every dip. You know the whole situation. When the clap once, when the double clap, you have the whole thing down. You know, that's one of the dangers of familiarity. You can get so familiar with doing things in a certain way that it doesn't even mean anything to you anymore. It's no excitement behind it. You're not jumping for joy. It's nothing behind it. Oh, you're just doing what you're used to do. You're so used to doing that same thing, and at this time, you can go up there and direct the whole service yourself. You know exactly what's going to happen and what should happen at this time and at that time. You know all about that. But you don't think nothing about, you know, this is just the same thing. What am I really saying here? What do I really mean right now? What does this song mean to me? Hallelujah. You following with me? What does it really mean to me? How am I praising God? Am I in a worship right now? How am I worshiping God right now? How am I worshiping God right now? You get so familiar. You know, sometimes, however, the problem is that we just don't really understand the depth of the words that we're singing. So it's just lip service. And then we come out, and all we know is that, you know, well, I went to church today. You know the saying. Going to church does not make you a Christian no more than parking in a garage makes you a garage. You can park that car in there, but that's a car. But it's not a garage. It's inside of that garage, but it's still a car. You can still be living a mixed-up life that you're fooling yourself just because you walk into a church. You're not participating. You're not expecting anything. You're not looking for anything. So you don't receive anything. You go in wrong. You sit there. You're criticizing everyone that's sitting there. You're critiquing the pastor, the choir. You're talking about their life and what happened. You go there to catch up on your person. I haven't saw you all week. What's been going on? You talk about your jobs. You talk about everything. Yes. You set up. You clap your hands. You're singing. You get out. And you go back home. Nothing has changed. Same hell. Same corruption in your heart. Same things that's going on. But this is the time that we need to stop. We have one more opportunity. This can be our last opportunity to get it right. Get it right. We get so caught up. You know, for instance, what do we really mean when we think about glorifying God or his name? Have you asked yourself that? What am I saying? What do I really mean when I say I'm glorifying God through song? You know, those words may flow freely from your lips, and they may even be accomplished by some feeling or some sort, or a feeling maybe of closeness or gratitude, reverence. But is that all that's involved in glorifying the Lord? It's good. We want to reverence the Lord. It's good that we can feel the closeness of the Lord when we glorify him through song. Our gratitude for him would show. But there's still more. It's more. It's more. It's more. Don't stop there. He didn't stop loving you. He doesn't love you halfway. Don't stop there. And we ask more and more and more of the Lord every day. Every day in every prayer, if we're praying to the Lord, at some point we're asking for something. Even throughout Thanksgiving, we're asking for something. So to better understand what is required to bring him glory, that's what we're talking about tonight, to bring him glory. So I hope that you have your sword with you, which is the Spirit of God's Word, because we need some scriptures to carry with us so we can understand, get a better understanding of what is required to bring him glory. We need to know what the Lord says about the subject. If you know me, you know anything that we talk about, I always want to go back and see, what does the Lord say about that subject? You know, in the Greek language, the word for glorify means to praise, extol, to magnify. It also means to celebrate or honor. You know, one of the most primary ways that we do this is through our songs and through our prayers. However, the scriptures reveal that glorifying the Lord involves more than just simply exhausting him or with our words, or exhausting him just on Sunday morning. We say it means more than that. It also includes honoring him. So now we say, uh-oh, what do you mean? How do you want me to honor him? It means honoring him with all that we say, all that we do, and all that we think. And that's going to take us some studying. That's going to take some practicing. Think about it. Everything that you do, everything that you say, everything that you think should be in honor to the Lord. Excuse me. So you say, but wow, how am I can't live life? That is life. That is living your life. you should be, you should want to be in a relationship so righteous with the Lord that even when those negative thoughts come to your mind, you're able to squash them, and the Holy Spirit stops it right there and says, no. You can't honor God with that thought. You can't honor God with that. Because we want to honor God at all times. That's how we're going to glorify Him. Not just through our praise with our mouth and on Sunday mornings or whatever service time, but we want to honor God. Honor Him with all that we say, all that we do, and all that we think. You know, the Lord didn't save us simply so we could just gather in church to worship Him. Although this is an essential part of a Christian life, hear me from the Spirit, that's a very essential part of a Christian's life. But the Lord didn't save us simply so we could just gather in churches to worship Him. We're also called to glorify Him in our interactions with those outside of the church. How are you interacting with those outside of the church? How are you interacting with those outside of the church? You know, as Christ's ambassadors and witnesses, that's who we are, we have a responsibility to spread the gospel message. We have a responsibility to demonstrate our conduct how He can transform a person's life. You see, we're all born into sin. But you don't have to stand in that row for just, I'm a sinner, I was born into sin. Once you recognize that Jesus Christ died for your sins, you now have the opportunity, you have a right, you must get out of that loser line, born into sin. Oh, but He's already redeemed. My price has been paid. He's paid the price through my redemption. I cannot stand over here. I don't have to stand in that line. Pay up my sin. I can want to do better. I can pray to do better. I can seek to do better. You know, that's what water baptism is about. It's just saying that I choose life. I'm out of this one here, and I choose to come over here. I have asked Christ into my life. I acknowledge the fact that God gave His only begotten Son for my sins. I acknowledge the fact that He gave His life for me. I acknowledge the fact that He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my Director. He is my Healer. And I'm going to choose now. I choose to be with Him. I choose to follow Him. I choose to step back from what the world says. And I choose to listen to His direction. I choose to listen to His direction. So it's our job to show the world how God can transform a person's life. Let's go a little deeper into that for a minute. How He can transform a person's life. You see, Matthew 5:16. It describes the result. When we allow Christ's light to shine through our actions, let's say that again, when we as Christians allow Christ's light, His light, to shine through our actions, then people will realize that there's a correlation between this light they see shining, our actions, the way that we're handling things. It's a correlation between this light and our faith. This light and our faith. If your action, your cross, your big Bible is one thing, but then your action is something totally opposite of what the cross and the Bible should be representing to the world, then it misleads the sinner man. It misleads those who doesn't have a relationship with the Lord. Because they look at you and they're confused. You say some of the things that they would dare not say. You do things that they would dare not do. So your life is not showing any light, a light GHD. No light is shining that the world may see. Because all they see is darkness. They see all the ugly words out of your mouth. They see how you can't forgive. They see how you hold grudges. They see how you sit in church and talk about others. They see how you're in church and you're shouting and you're singing and you're a big name in the church, but then in the streets you're about the biggest person. You're the first one up in the club. You got the drink in your hand. You can't let the cigarettes go. You can't do anything on the job to try to help someone else. Now, I know you know somebody like this. And if you look in the mirror, if you find out that you can't think of anybody you know like this, if you pass by a mirror and you stop for a moment, you may recognize someone that has some of these characters, has had some of these characters, or the enemy is working on you right now to get you in a position where that is your character. Amen? Amen. We have got to, as Christians, let God's light shine in our life, that the actions that we portray to the world are real examples of how God can transform anyone's life. He can make a transformation from the Saul to the Paul in anyone's life. People will start to realize that the thing that I see so different about Minister Vaughn, Sally, Sue, Bill, Jane, whoever it may be, when things come abroad, I see their actions. I like the way they react to different things. I like the way that they just don't. I would have flown off the handle, but I like the way that they walked off. Now, they may not know that you have to walk off into some secret place and cry. They may not see that you have to walk off and go sit in your car, pull out your word, and start reading. They may not see that you may have to steal away and let the world fade away, go into that bathroom there at work, and go on your knees and pray. God, lift this from me. God, I need your direction. I'm about to lose it right now. But what they do see is you don't lose it out there in front of everybody else. They didn't see you lose it. What they do see is that you were able to somehow way get yourself away from there and return with a still on the spot. You were able to forgive. You were also able to use the spirit of discernment about the situation. You're also able to walk away from that water cooler when they're talking and downing somebody and being bullies at work. We're talking about bullies at school. Some of the biggest bullies can be at your workplace. Some of the biggest bullies, and this may shock a few of you, and some it will not, some of the biggest bullies can be in your church. Can be right in your church, on your pew. For whatever reason, your shepherd may decide that they're not going to say anything, going to let you work it out. But a shepherd leads his sheep. Amen? A shepherd leads his sheep. You got to have a heart for people. But you got to have a heart of God to be directed when he says, leave this one there. This is the preparation that they're going to need to get here. That's what a shepherd does. So before you try to jump up behind some pulpit, it may look easy. But dealing with people is not easy. But we are called to feed the sheep. We are called to still be there, not bow down, bend down, and do anything else. But all of the negative stuff that's come out, we're called to still be there. Hallelujah. So when they see the faith and the light, they'll start to give God the credit. They'll say, I know it couldn't have been you because you are an alcoholic. I know it couldn't have been you because maybe you were over there and you are a gambler. You were unfaithful to your spouse. You were this, you were that. The doctors had given up on you. I know it couldn't have been you who healed yourself. It had to be God. It had to be God that kept your smile on your face through that. It had to be God that when your family turned their backs on you, when the friends at first was right there and then they started to get too busy, that they turned their back on you. It had to be God. Nobody but you, God. Nobody but you. So you see how when you live it around, the world is watching anyway, but they start to correlate your faith, your action with God. May God be the glory. Glorifying God. Yes, in fact, the Lord evacuation of a church, that plan is not based on what its members say or what its members sing about, but it's all, is when he elevates somebody, the elevation of the church is based on how they behave, on the action, how they behave, not how good you're singing. Not even how good your preacher preach. Not based upon what you say. See, if a body of believers is characterized by generosity, unity, selflessness, and their service, they're glorifying God in both word and deed. When that body of believers, you're characterized by that's a generosity group. That group is generous. Always helping someone, always out here to honor God in some way. When it's about unity, regardless of what the behaviors are of the unbeliever or whatever, they're still loving that the person. They're able to separate the sin from that person. They're able to minister to the person, not minister to that sin. See, because if you lead that person to Christ, God will separate that sin from that person. Amen? So we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, as the old folks used to say. God, he's not asking you to condemn them. It's not the wrath of God that's going to turn their life around and come running to you saying, what must I do to be saved? No, no, no. It's not the wrath of God. You can't beat somebody over the head with a club about, you know, your behavior is just sinful and you're a liar, you're a sinner, you're going to hell, you. The truth is, it may be. But it's the love of God that compels a man to say, what must I do to be saved? I want that love. I want that comfort. I want that peace. It's your action. You've got to love a person even when they see no, and they'll tell you, I have no chance in my mind. I don't even want to change. Don't worry about that. You love that person. You can tell them that it's the behavior that is separating us right now. But it's not going to stop me from loving you. Amen? So we've got to be generous. We've got to be one unit. We've got to be selflessness. We've got to show service if we intend to glorify God in our word and deed. But if these qualities are lacking, then their corporate praise and all the corporate worship on Sundays is just empty. It's actually hypocritical. You have to have these parts with it. This is your host, Minister Von Dillers. Again, I'm coming live from San Antonio, Texas. You can send prayer requests to walkwithmegod@aol.com. Walkwithmegod@aol.com. I most definitely send out any literature I can help you with, help you find church homes in whatever city or state you're located in, and we are in this thing together. Amen? I hope you're staying for the rest of the broadcast. I thank you for being in the chat room. God bless each and every one of you. Because let's continue on. I want you to write these down, your pen and your paper. I need you to write down some scriptures to carry with you. Let's go. Matthew 5:16 is your first one. Matthew 5:16. Romans 15:5-7. And 1 Peter 4:10-11. Remember, you can go in the archives and replay these broadcasts at any time. Get the scriptures back if you need it. Download it. Play it in your car. Get it in your spirit. We're wanting to live by it. To live by the word. Remember, it's your action. You got to be living the word, not just speaking the word, not just hearing the word. It's good for you to write things. Write stuff about the word. Speak it out of your mouth. Once you read it, start speaking it out loud. Go back on it. Write it again. Speak it out loud. You'll find yourself forming a habit that you begin to when you're in a trial, in a situation. Before you curse, you'll start repeating the word. Before you just harden your heart against somebody or some situation, you'll start replaying the word over and over again in your mind. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. So we have to get it in your heart. You got to believe it in your heart. So we have Matthew 5:16, Romans 15:5-7, and 1 Peter 4:10-11. And then we're going to go a little bit more in 1 Peter 4:12-16, and then John 14:13, John 15:8, John 21:18-19. Now, see, ultimately, we should come away from every study of God with something that we're working on. We should go in every service at church leaving there with something that we're working on. You know, I see a lot of people doing a lot of writing in service, taking a lot of notes, and they're writing something. If you don't see any change in the action of their life, writing it and just closing it up in a tablet is not going to help you. The writing experience was supposed to be designed so you can go back on it over and over and over again. Now you're preaching that sermon to yourself. You're delivering that same message to your family. You're delivering that to the ones that have come up to you on the job for a word. You're delivering it. Now you're the messenger. We should be able to see changes in your city, changes in your state, if everybody takes everything that they're writing, and start applying it and spreading that word, we would feel different. We would feel different. You know, ultimately, the responsibility to glorify God is rest on each individual believer. It's up to you of how you're going to glorify God, how often you're going to glorify God. If you're going to be sincere, if you're going to keep on playing games, that's what it comes down to. You know, when Jesus gave his final instructions to his disciples in John 3:17, it said he offered himself as the example of one who perfectly glorifies the Father by fully obeying his will. Verse 17 and 4, by fully obeying his will. See, right now we find ourselves, we want to do just a little bit here and a little bit there. Yeah. We want to pick out different portions that we want to. Okay, I honor you here, but I'm not going to honor you there. Yeah, I'll pick up here, but I'm not going to pick up there. I'll glorify you here, but I'm not in that way. Not in front of this person or that person. Hallelujah. You know, following in his footsteps may seem like an impossible mission. So God was, Jesus was perfect. So we want to use the excuse that, you know, following in his footsteps is just impossible. See, we tire out this flesh. We have to die to flesh daily. We have to tell flesh daily, it is not your will today. I know I wanted that Big Mac, but not today. You can always tell when the flesh is hindering you, it's really speaking to you because it just, you can't think of nothing else but that. Oh, I don't want to go to that married woman's house today, but, oh, she's calling me, I'm visualizing. You see, you get all these thoughts in your mind because the enemy can plan on it. That's an indicator that that's just the flesh. You have the authority to tell your adversaries that you have canceled out all of their schemes, spoiling all of the plans that they have set up against you. Yes, you have that authority given to you by Jesus Christ. So following in his footsteps, when you get tired, you draw a picture. Following in his footsteps, when it says, the doctor says it's impossible, you go to someone and say, I'm expecting a miracle. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus didn't leave us to fend for ourselves. He's got our back. He promised that his Holy Spirit would come to life and it would live within each and every one of us as believers if we invite him to come in. He promised. And in that way, he would forever be with us, teaching us to pray according to his will. According to his will, teaching us to pray. According to his will. Empowering us to walk in obedience and empowering us to walk purity. We can do it. I know the world says purity is something in the past. But our actions, matching up with our faith, leads them to see our God. And once they see our God, there's no turning back. There is no turning back once you see our God. Amen. Our actions matching up with our faith. So what we're talking about, doing, walking in that same way, setting examples by doing the things we're talking about, it leads to our God. Our God. Following in his footsteps. Following in his footsteps. See, he empowers us to walk in obedience and purity and transforming us with the fruit of his Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23 say he's transforming us with the fruit of his Spirit. You know, glorifying our Heavenly Father is a lifelong pursuit that needs not be hindered by suffering or ending by death. The truth is, if we respond to all the fiery ordeals and by entrusting our lives to God, we not only glorify him now, but we also rejoice greatly when he finally reveals in our great glory. Even the death of believers, no matter how untimely that death is, no matter how painful that death is, it brings glory to God. Read Psalms 116 and 15. Amen? You know, the book of Psalms is filled with prayers and songs that speak of the Lord's majesty. They tell us why he is worthy, why he's worthy of our praise, and how we should approach him. The book of Psalms. You know, I want you to just do a little thing. I told you should always leave with something you're working on. Read verses 8 through 13 of Psalms 86. Psalms 86, verses 8 through 13. It's a prayer of David. How does he describe the Lord in verses 8 and 10? What does David ask God to do for him, and what does he commit himself to do as a result? And you'll find that out in verses 11 and 12. Now, according to verse 13, what is the basis for David's trust in the Lord and his reason for exalting him? I want you to answer those questions. Just to reflect. And then your next reflection, we're going to pick up the next broadcast, just how we're going to respond and just kind of revisit on those. But the next reflection is Psalms 96. It is a call for the people of God to praise him through songs. So what are they to proclaim and to whom? Verses 1 and 3 were after that. How is the Lord exalted in verses 4 and 7? What attitude should the people have towards the Lord? Verses 8 and 9. What do the final verses of the psalm say about God's trustworthiness and God's trust, his justice? What does it say? Psalms 96, 1 through 9. That's just a reflection of trusting in God, glorifying him in more than just words. Your words versus your actions. We need your actions to match your words. And then the world will see our God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've said and done. May your word be with us throughout the week, dear Father. May we match up our words with our actions, dear Father. And may it help someone along the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, this is your host again, Minister Von Dumas, coming to you from San Antonio, Texas. You can reach me for any prayer requests, praise reports, at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Again, it's walkwithmegod@aol.com. Do you know the Lord is your personal Lord and Savior? Not your mother's personal Lord and Savior. Is he the one that you lean on? Can you talk to him? Can you get a prayer through in good times, bad times? Can you get a prayer through? Or do you have to call up somebody else to pray for you, to pray with you? We need each other, and we need to pray with each other and for each other, but what about you? In the midnight hours, what about you? Are you able to pray to the Lord? Have you decided to invite him as your Lord and Savior into your life? If you have not, I just ask you to repeat after me. It is a simple thing just to repeat after me. These are the words of salvation. We're just talking to God about your salvation. Amen? Talking to God about your salvation. We want to be able to know that you, not somebody else, that you can get a word into heaven. That you, if you died today, you would be able to call, know that you are going into the place that God has prepared for you. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. Just bow your head. Dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I am a sinner. I am sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood for me on the cross at Calvary, and that he died for my sins. And I'm now willing to turn from my sins. Right now, I confess Jesus as the Lord of my soul. And with my heart, I believe that God raised him from the dead. And this very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. According to his words, right now, I am saved. Thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to a license to sin, but rather it always leads to repentance. Therefore, Lord Jesus, transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. Thank you for dying for me and giving me eternal life. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. The whole heavens is rejoicing with you right now. The whole heavens is rejoicing with you right now. If you just pray that prayer, it's so important that you just let someone know. Oh, I'll be more than happy to send you out any biblical literature to help you on your way. I don't care what city or state that you're in. We can go and pray together. And we have, I know, ministers all over the world. We can get in touch with each other. We'll pray with you. God has your group for you. It's important to get into a Bible-teaching church. Every church does not teach the Bible, a Bible-teaching church. And then after you found your church home, it's important to get water baptized. It's just your symbol to the world, to God, showing I once was dead, going into sin, but I stepped out of that line now. Now I'm rejoicing. I'm whole again. I've been bought with a price, Jesus Christ. I love you, I love you, I love you, but God loves you more. Until the next time, you be blessed, okay? You be blessed and work hard on being the best you that you can be. Amen. Good night.